morning to you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis, without Anna DeBlantis today. And I just want to say that the show is a little worse for wear. And I take full responsibility for the fact that 80% of Lauren's traffic report was not heard by the audience or herself or anybody until there was a change in the technical circumstances that were apparently directly under my control. That is a separate way of saying I just screwed that up, but we at least got the sponsor in, and that's the most important
thing. Yeah, didn't hear anything about the traffic.
Classic technical difficulty. Based off the roads I've driven on today, a lot of traffic out there on a Friday.
It's a Friday. It's a summer Friday. Beautiful summer Friday. So I just want to thank, let's see, in order last night, I want to thank the fine folks at Gibson's. I want to thank the fine folks at the Chicago Police Department. I want to thank some of the fine folks at the Chicago Fire Department and other medical personnel, because it was it was quite an evening. It was a celebration of life, or at least mine. And there were a lot of people that got involved in this at the end. We decided at the last minute we were going to go out and do this, as we do. And let me just put it to you this way. Our producer is texting us all in the middle of the night. Anybody else sick? Oh, God.
Which we're all fine.
Yes, we're all fine. The food was great. And
the food was great.
I think that had to do with some other issues that might have popped up.
Probably.
Potentially.
Yeah.
But don't you just kind of mentally start to worry, like, uh-oh, do I feel sick?
And yeah.
Just talking yourself into it.
Yeah. Exactly. And then Anna's not here. And we haven't heard from her. So we don't even know.
Last night went from we're not doing anything for Rose's birthday, absolutely nothing. It's going to be a quiet Thursday, to, okay, we just got a table at Gibson's for an extravagant dinner, and the next thing you know, wine was flowing, beer was flowing, just about everything was flowing.
So
massive slabs of beef were being delivered.
Bones were being banged on plates.
Yes, yeah, Simon Code. They actually
bones,
do that. They take the steak, the bone in steak, and they bang it on the plate. They make the noise of the bone, and you know, and it was a funny thing, because Anna, you know, she's a pescatarian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they just happened to be right next to Anna's chair, so there was about 30 pounds of meat right next
to Anna's face, raw meat.
Beautiful cuts of meat.
Yeah.
I was drooling.
Right.
Anna was
all
cringing.
Of us are like,
yeah.
I really wish I would have taken a video of her face, though. It was classic.
Yeah, there are some videos from last night, I suppose, that are up. I know Mr. Roper posted some things.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah, there were some moments. It got wilder by the evening. So, anyway, if people want to see that, you can check out Richard Roper's Twitter or Insta. Did you put anything up, Ms. Lapka?
I didn't take that. Any pictures or videos at the actual dinner.
That was my demand of everybody, but Roper doesn't seem to listen to any of that.
I posted a picture of the food we were eating, so that's harmless. Mm-hmm. And then I think Rich just posted a photo of all of us at the table, just, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. nicely being polite and behaving mm-hmm. and all those sorts of things that we normally do when we go out.
Again, much thanks to the Chicago Police Department. I think the Chicago Fire Department at one point got involved in this. I'm not sure.
And some random guy in the street. I can't remember his name now, though.
He was a nice
guy.
Decided to do some card tricks on Rush Street. There was no traffic because of it, thanks to that guy.
So it was an interesting evening. All right, coming up on the program, Lourdes Duarte is going to join us here in just a few moments. She has a major announcement, or a announcement major, because she did this on her on that telenovela bit that they do over at Channel 9. Very, very entertaining when they do it. Because they have a number of their anchors, of course, and reporters are bilingual, and they like to do this take on Spanish language television soap operas. And she made a major announcement, and now the world is confused. So we're going to have her make the announcement in English.
And clarify it.
Yes, because there are some things. Also this hour, it's the Festival Frenzy with Lauren Lapka. We're still working on the title. It's a working title. Because every weekend, there are fests and festivals and other kinds of crazy things around town. So you want to know what it is.
Sometimes I think they just slap fest on the name, and it'll be like a 4-hour thing. I don't get
a little
pop up.
I drove past a little pop up. It was a little trailer, and it was some sort of art thing, and it said fest on it, as if there was some major fest. Like, was that really it, or is there going to be more to that?
Let's look at the definition, because I feel like some people should not be calling things festivals. But, you know, hey, either way, a lot of things to do. So,
and then there are festivals that one must attend. There are ones that throughout the summer that pop up that you're like, you these you cannot miss under any circumstances.
You don't want to suffer FOMO, fear of missing out.
No. Mm-hmm. And I had that last night too. I think a little bit later I had FOMO. And then something. I don't know quite what it was, but it was something. I don't know. We really got to take it easy, kids. I don't know how to. I don't know when we're going to start, but let's just. Yeah, we'll start right now.
I feel like we're just getting started.
Yeah, that's what's going to go on. And also, listen to this, because you know, on Fridays during the summer, we made a decision, an editorial decision, not to take on too much of the news of the day. Just kind of talk about what's going on, unless something, of course, of great significance breaks. But in the meantime, just talk about things that are happening the weekend, have some fun, some of the stupid stories from the week that are, you know, that can be laughed at as opposed to cried at or yelled about.
I like to refer to it as F off Friday.
Yeah. I like that.
F it Friday. Because that's pretty much everybody's mindset going into the Friday, right? You walk into work, it's F it Friday.
Checked out already.
Leaving at 2 today. I don't care what the boss says.
All right. So what I always like to do over the years, and maybe we'll start this tradition again. I like to, and maybe I'll send Kevin or I'll send Lauren. I don't know which one.
I love to get out of the office on a Friday. So if
No. You're staying in the office. Oh, that's the best part. You're going down to the sales department to see who's here.
Yes. Okay. I like that. Mm-hmm.
There's
like
a certain time of day. Right. The office is open until 5. Is it open until 5?
Normally is.
They don't have like summer hours around here, do they?
I think some people just self-impose summer hours, unofficial.
I like to just do that. Go around and find out who's. I like to do a little head count around 4 o'clock.
Out him.
Yeah. See who's still here. Oh no, I'm out making sales calls.
Can't sell air from the chair.
Swear I'm working.
That's what they all say when they're not in the office.
Right. Well, that's true. Well, the bosses will say that to them. You know, like, go out and sell something. They want them out on the, you know, on the street. They want them, you know, knocking on doors, kissing babies, doing whatever it is. But now I wish they would do with the salespeople here what the city of Chicago does with the streets and sanitation folks, which is there's a GPS on all of them,
like an ankle bracelet.
Yeah. So you know exactly where they are at any given time, right? They can't get lost,
right?
You know, it's like a baby Bjorn for city workers.
You told us you were meeting a potential client. Says right here, 3:45. Yeah. You're at the Palm next door, specifically at the bar.
And who was that client? And we have the video. We have security video now. We should actually make them all wear cameras on their head so that we see where
GoPros.
They are and who they're meeting with at live cams at all times. What they're doing.
Like, ooh, I don't think it's going well with
you're
this
telling
one.
Me you were taking shots for work?
Client was,
seven of them?
Client was an alcoholic.
Yeah. This is, well, that's kind of, it's, well, hey.
They chose the lunch spot.
I know, let's not go down. That's, you know, but for the grace of God, go we. All right, coming up, Lourdes will explain exactly what happened on the telenovela for us today. And then also, we got to celebrate the fact that the Big Blues Fest, that's a real fest, kicks off tonight in Grant Park, in Millennium Park. We've got Live Music Friday, blues musicians.
Nice.
So stay tuned for that as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. Right now, Jen DeSalvo tells us what's happening in the WGN newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, fire destroys a historic Southside shopping center this morning.
Noticias, ayer, mañana, y hoy. Noticias, cada día te doy. Noticias. Te invito a venir a ver nuestras vidas secretas.
You know, one thing is for sure here, that Aponce is involved in the singing of that. That's all I know. Lourdes Duarte is joining us right now from the WGN TV newsroom. Now, Ms. Duarte.
Yes.
Is it true that you just appeared in a telenovela, basically a spoof, it's a satire of the news and the soap opera business? Is that true?
This is correct.
Uh-huh.
This is now episode 7.
Seven.
Was released today. It's called Noticias de mi Corazón, News of the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Ponce, as you heard there, he does the music, the lyrics, the whole bit. Ana Belaval and myself do a lot of the acting, and there's a whole lot of slapping going on. So,
true.
We made a big revelation today.
There was. I have the part that has Ben Bradley in it. Hold on. This is kind of a good moment.
Ben Bradley!
¿Qué?
Tú eres el nuevo presentador con Zoraida.
Eres tú.
No hablo español. Solo profesional.
I said that he sounds like Adam Sandler a little bit.
Yes, he does. I think he patterns himself very much after Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
But there is a moment. Do we have the part? Do we have the audio? There's a part where you make an announcement here.
I make an announcement.
And there's and it becomes very confusing to the English speaking. You got to remember, there's a lot of gringo gringa out here.
Yes. So in the novella, my character, Zoraida, so we have named our characters after people who work in the news market in Chicago, is expecting a child. And it is revealed at the end of the episode that the baby father is none other than Bozo.
That audio.
It just...
Do we have that or no?
¿Tuviste suerte?
No.
Yo tampoco.
Yo creo que nunca vamos a saber quién es el padre.
So there you have a little bit of it. Yeah, so it is revealed that it is Bozo, and it just so happens that I myself also made a big announcement today.
Yes.
Right after that aired, Lourdes, I'm also going to be a mommy.
You are with child.
I am with child.
Is
However, Bozo is
the
not
father.
The father.
How about Cookie? No. Was it Cookie? Wizzo? I know Wizzo just passed away. That would be so sad for the baby, wouldn't it?
No.
Oh my God, the dad's dead.
No.
You'll never know your father.
My child will forever have a fear of clowns and may be traumatized for the rest of her life. So we'll see how she turns out.
Well, yes, congratulations.
I am going
to
have a little
you.
Girl.
Oh, we've already sexed the child, have we?
Yes, it's All a
right.
little girl.
That is very, very good.
Yeah.
Oh, that is. This is the modern world.
Yes.
So, you know you're pregnant.
Yes.
The world kind of starts to know you're pregnant. And you're starting to show and you're starting to tell people because you don't want the embarrassing question. And then you have that the moment where you do tell people what it's going to be. Now, then the question is, do you have a name? I mean, it's almost like we know where are they going to college. We kind of start to know everything about them.
I have a name, and I've had a name since, like, week 10.
Oh, interesting. What week are we in?
Listen, I'm 43 years old. I've been planning for this my whole life. So I do have a name, but I think I shouldn't say, right?
Like, no,
I shouldn't say it.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I think there's too much already known. I think it's, how many weeks are you?
25 weeks.
25 weeks. See, that's too much for me to know. I shouldn't know that. That should be between you and your doctor. And what is it? What is the gestation period for the human? What, 39?
40 weeks.
40 weeks.
So
okay.
It's really actually 10 months, but they call it 9 months. I don't even know why they do that.
I know.
Thing, but
you know what?
That
only women who are 25 weeks along know that. They're like, you know what? There's an extra month in here.
Yep.
And you're going to be carrying in these last 15 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
In the hottest, most horrifying time of the year.
Mid-September.
Oh, my God.
Whew. But I feel really good. The baby everything looks great. All the tests have been coming back really positive. So I think all will be well. So everybody keep your fingers crossed for me, please.
Yes, of course. Of course, we love you. And we want
Thank you, nothing but the best here.
Because you're, especially now, I just think about how lucky this child is going to be to have his parents or her parents in this particular case.
Yes.
And, the life that, comes with knowing a Ponce. I mean, that to
and
me.
And a Bradley.
And a Bradley, right. A Ben Bradley, a Ponce, a Joe Donlan. You know, I stop and I marvel at the many, many things that this child will, she will see the world from a totally different
Bozo
place.
Bozo will be the least of her worries. That's for sure.
All right.
Well, I can't wait for you to meet her. 15 more weeks. Here
that's
we
right.
Come.
We can't. We right. and we can't wait. And I'll bet that's true. I'll bet that's true. There will be a moment. I'm gonna give you a date. See, what's the Bears home opener? That's
Ooh.
Thursday the 8th or something.
Sandy. Yes,
something like that.
Yeah,
I believe the baby will be born on the night of the Bears home opener, which is going to save you a week. It won't really matter at that.
Okay.
It's just convenient for you.
September 5th.
And September 5th. If the baby is not born on September 5th, you're going to get to September 15th, and you are going to be screaming, get this thing out of me!
September 15th. Oh, my. Whew! That's a whole nother novella. I don't know. Hopefully I'll make it that far.
Are your feet swollen yet?
Not yet, not yet. Telling you, I've been really lucky. I've been really, really lucky. I don't know what's going to happen from here on out, but so far, so good.
All right. Well, we wish everybody the best
Thank
here,
you.
Including little baby Zoraida or whatever her name is going to be. Now I told her not to tell anybody, and now I'm going to try and get it out of her.
No. I'll tell you later.
Did you tell your husband yet?
Yes, he's aware. I made it known early on. He's on board. We're good.
Kind of seems to me that this was going to be your call anyway, right? he's just got to. And you know, this is the moment when you have a pregnant significant other, where you just go, oh yes, absolutely, whatever you need. That's his job right now. I'll talk to him about it if you need.
I actually wanted a little Spanish name as a first name, but her last name's going to be McGrath, so that kind of
doesn't go. Oh, that's more fun. I think that's more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, her middle name should be When You Do the Math.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know that that's it. It works. We could sell. I shouldn't talk to the sales department about this, but we could probably sell the naming rights to the baby right now.
Maybe.
Yeah,
now you're giving them ideas.
Yes, exactly. And then McGrath hyphen Lexus.
Oh.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Happy
Goodbye.
Friday. Thank you so much.
You too. Okay. There she goes.
Bye.
The now with child, Lourdes Duarte.
I wonder if the first words will be Uncle Ben.
Oh, God. I hope not.
That was immediately what I pictured.
Or looks at Ben and goes, Daddy!
Oh, no. just kind of latches like a duckling. Oh, man.
Oh, no, it's not going to be good. All right, Jen DeSalvo's got the news brought to you by Team Hochberg. Rococho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN, WGN everywhere, the WGN app, the WGN that you grew up with on the radio, and then everywhere else that you could possibly find it. Just Google it, and you'll find it. It's right there. All right. Lauren Lapka is about to share we're about to do a lap with Lapka. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a feature for this for Fridays for festival season, a title. And I'm having trouble with the whole concept here.
Oh, it makes sense because the whole thing is chaotic. Like every weekend now is just chaos. So it's going to be chaotic to try and find a name for it.
Yes, that's right. So you see, form and function. That's what we do around here. Cap, big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah. All right. All right. So. These are the big festivals, big and small, actually, right? Because there's a couple here. I'm going to be the determiner of whether or not this is a true festival. By the way, this is as a work in progress. We may be refining some of this and combing out things that are pretender festivals.
Yes, I agree. I think we need to do that.
Right.
But there definitely are some festivals that are worthy of the name. You know, ones that are going all weekend. So, for example, the Andersonville Midsummer Fest. So this is already underway or will be underway today. And this is closing down Clark Street. But it's a huge, huge party. Good time. It's $10 donation at the gate is suggested. But pretty much it's going back to old Swedish traditions. You get to dance around the maypole. You can taste different.
I'm not sure what that is, though.
The maypole?
Yeah, I know what it is. Huh. I don't know what that is. That's like some sort of fertility ritual, though, or something.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
I got to touch up on my Swedish history.
Well, and they also set their head on fire for Christmas.
What?
I used to live in that neighborhood.
Great neighborhood. Does this go through Sunday?
Yes, all the way through Sunday. So today it starts at 5, goes to 7. Saturday and Sunday it's 12 to 10. So pretty much all day event of food and culture and drinks. Oh,
yeah,
actually, something very cool. Their Andersonville Chamber will offer you a free beer ticket if you present a receipt that shows that you bought something at a local shop from today through Sunday.
And there's a lot of local shops up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Transit tees.
Yeah.
You can get your Loop Train t-shirts.
There you go. Yeah. No, it's so they really want to encourage local shop local. So
I just bought the one of the things for our producer, Brian, in there a few months ago. Some piece of Prince memorabilia.
Yeah, that place is great.
Yeah. So it's if you like rock and roll and pop culture and stuff, they have some great stores up there for that. And then they got one of the best ice cream stores in the history of humanity. Ice
there you
cream
go.
Shops.
All these places to go and buy something to get a free beer.
All right, see? Great.
I think it's a good idea.
Checked all the boxes checked there. That's a full blown, full fledged festival.
Cream, beer. Rock and roll memorabilia.
A fertility pole.
Fertility pole.
And there's like Woman three comic books shops up there.
Yeah, see, that's good. That would be good for you.
Sure,
too.
Throw it in there.
Yeah, and then 6 months later, a lady sets her hair on fire.
Mark it down. Full fledged festival, Andersonville Fest.
Just floral crowns for this one. Okay, right. No heads right. on fire.
Yeah, all right.
You already mentioned this one, but I would also say this is definitely a festival. It's the Chicago Blues Festival. So it's today through Sunday, free. Which is great, at Millennium Park. Very diverse lineup celebrating blues of past, present, and future. I know we do have someone coming into studio later today to perform, so I'm very excited about that.
I was driving north on Michigan Avenue, and it was like the band that couldn't get into the fest because they were on the west side of Michigan Avenue playing as a street band while music was going on right across the street. I'm like, these are the guys that couldn't make the cut, but they still want to be a part of the blues fest.
We're going to play. We're going to drown you
We
out.
Deserve to be here.
Right.
I'm like, look at these guys. I appreciate it. Some year you guys will get into the gates of Blues Festival.
Oh, man. Poor guys.
More power
I
though.
Couldn't get into Fizz.
Kind of what it was.
There you go, yeah.
Sitting across the street from the Fizz. And the police trying to move me. Now I'm telling them I gotta go poopy. Oh, yes, I'm not a man. Not even in a band. All right, enough.
There you go. That's the show you can catch if you can't find seats.
Right. Free entertainment.
I got to say, it is the Blues Fest, though, is the ironically whitest event of the year in Millennium Park because it's like all the kids from the North Shore are going to come down.
Suburban dads love that stuff.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, it's hard to find people that don't love the blues.
That's true.
In Chicago, in that location, I mean, come on, you can't.
It's the best.
Oh, for sure.
It really is the best.
So another definitely festival.
All right,
I would give it to
them. Full-fledged fest.
Yeah. There's also Fiesta Back of the Yard, so they're already closed down for that. And just another situation of live entertainment. There will be rides, a bunch of vendors, a bunch of food. A good time. It's
good
on
street
47th.
Food in that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good street food there.
So that's over on 47th all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So definitely a festival. There's also Printer's Row Lit Fest.
Oh, God.
But this is Saturday and Sunday. Do you count it if it's 2 days?
I don't know.
What's his name?
Kamanga.
Cuckoo Kamanga.
Yeah.
Who didn't we drive past yesterday on the way to dinner?
Yeah, doing a card trick. Yeah. Justin Kaufman, he's a very open-minded talk show host. I think it's one way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to present things that maybe we hadn't thought about before.
Right.
Maybe that nobody had ever thought about before. And Lit Fest is one of his favorite things. And so for years, he's been having authors on. And he would come in to the studio and go, "You're not going to believe who I just booked for the show." Famed Central African author, Cuckoo Kamanga. Who's really more of a philosophical genius. And I just imagine these people. Some of these people don't even speak. The thing about people who write books, some of them are great writers, right? I mean, most of them, if they get published, are pretty great writers. They don't have a lot to say. I like you know, with the mouth part, many of them.
It's
the reason why they don't actually read the books on tape. They actually get somebody else to read it instead of the specific author every time.
So I just think that that Lit Fest, I'd always say, you know, Justin sells it. That's the one thing about it. He sells it. Oh, you've got to be there.
You could feel his passion towards it.
Well, it's great for readers, people that want to meet with like-minded people. I get it.
Right.
I'm not that much of a reader, but...
Oh, my God. I think she's a reader. I think we just might have offended her.
No, you're fine. But there is a costume parade, so, I mean, why not? Why not go just for that?
A costume parade?
Yeah.
Of, like, what? What do you dress? Like, anything you want?
You dress as your favorite book character.
Any reason to dress in cosplay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. See? A bunch of Harry Potter is going to be strolling around Polk in Dearborn.
See, but that doesn't really count, because Harry Potter, that's also a movie, too.
Yeah.
But it's one of the best book series of all times.
You have to be like Thornwick or something, some character from like some 1800s book that only 15 people have read. Who are you? I'm Thornwick. You might remember me.
Right. Something from In Jest or something, you know.
I don't I'm like, I don't know what that is. All right. But anyway, it's a wonderful festival. That yes. is true. It's Lit Fest. It's a big festival. It's big. Okay. It's an important. Tribune used to do it. Then the Tribune decided we don't want people to read either. So that was, I don't know what really went on. All right. And is there... are there anything small that
yeah,
are...
Yeah, so
like,
here are two fests I think should not have the name.
These are borderline fests. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you have the Lombard Ale Fest and the Tri-City Craft Brew Festival. Here's the thing. They're both only on Saturday. So Lombard Beer Fest is 1 to 5, downtown Lombard.
Oh, that does not seem like a full
yeah.
festival.
It's very short. And yeah. it's like $50 to $60 for a ticket, but you get to try over like 80 different beers. So
here's the question, too. Is it in one building... or is it located?
I thought you were
going
to ask if you have to dress up for it.
It's downtown Lombard by the metro station outside.
So I just came back from Litfest where I'm dressed as Thornwick and I'm here at the Lombard.
Now I paid $60 beer for fest. The beer.
Yeah, but now wait, now but a $60, how much beer can you drink?
Yeah,
for $60.
So $60 is, I believe, the early entrance price if you want to get in first.
Yeah, I mean, those people are always lit up at these things because there's one yeah. at Soldier Field every year, a big one, and it's always people from the suburbs because then all the metro stations are people just drunkenly getting off the train like late mm-hmm. in the afternoon because you're drinking like 8 or 9% beers all
oh, yeah,
afternoon.
Very strong. Mm-hmm.
And people put the pretzel necklaces on to, you know, try yeah. to act like yep. to wipe the palate clean or to consume something while you're drinking all this beer. But that's a lot to consume, like 20 different IPAs and different porters.
Yeah.
Are they full-size beers, or do you just get taste samples?
Normally, they just give
yeah,
samples.
Little,
like,
yeah,
I've
little
been to two
glass
beer.
Things. Mm-hmm. But so similar thing in with the Tri-City Craft Brew Festival. This is 1 to 4:30, so even shorter. But tickets are $15 to $65, depending on what you
What do you
want.
Get for $65? A bathroom, right? It's $15, you can't use the bathroom. $65, you can use the bathroom. That's and now I understand. Now I get it. All right.
But hey, if you really love beer, still fun. I wouldn't
I
call
beer.
It a festival, but that's okay.
You think he makes the beer fest circuit every summer? I love Chicago this time of year. They got the best beer.
PJ's great. Let's go. We're going to Lombard.
Every beer
I'm
festival.
I'm Kevin Diggin and let's go pee.
Oh, man.
We can call PJ. Because he peed in his PJs. We like beer. I'm a Supreme Court Justice, okay? I'm going.
All right.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Right
this is not
alley.
Exactly how this was planned. This is not how this
yeah,
was written.
Yeah, you find a way to go down some path of a yeah. fake story. Yeah.
Oh, they seem more of like shotgunning cheap domestic beer rather than fancy craft beers, you know?
I know, but they're older now.
That's true.
The guy's
They've
on the Supreme Court. Right. He's got Now he's got to go. He's got to have a porter. You know,
yeah, Squeak still doesn't know. He goes, "What the hell's an IPA? Where's my natty light?"
No. Squeak wants one that's at least 9% ABV.
Through the roof at this point.
Right. That's what these guys. That's basically that's what these beer fests are doing. They're just selling you cocktails that are malted. That is yeah. the whole idea now.
I think they're taking advantage of the fact that craft beer has just exploded.
Has it peaked yet? Because I feel I'm like, when is it going to peak?
I don't
there's
know.
A new brewery on a corner every other hour on the hour.
I
Chicago.
Think it's kind of good, though.
I think no, it's not a bad thing. I'm just curious as to how much more it could grow. There's so many breweries in Chicago, and there's so much great beer, but it's...
But people change up what they're doing, too. The brewery gets known for quality.
It's true.
And then they move
not against
product
it, just
in and out.
It's
I, like,
slow
you
know, down.
I like the idea.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm good. I like it, too!
Now let me into the Lombard Fest.
Lands at O'Hare. With BJ and Squee. And make it right down. You know, Lombard, not too far from O'Hare. You can get there fairly quickly. Right?
Yeah.
Right down the tri-state. You're right there. Boom. They're there. They're walking around.
Getting in fights with people.
they're also wearing the pretzel necklace, right?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
You're looking at.
He actually has a Supreme Court robe and a pretzel necklace on. All right, I'm sorry. Is there anything else that you'd like
There's
to mention?
There's about 70 other
all right,
things.
Go ahead. All right.
No, but I would say some of the other big ones would be Spring Awakening, which is actually not in Chicago
That's where
this
they go
time.
After.
It's not in Chicago this time. They moved it out to Hoffman Estates.
Thank God.
Yes, because that thing is always packed.
It's nuts.
That's all weekend. So I it's a music festival. I would still say that counts as a festival. But you know, all that electronic.
Squee is in charge of getting the Molly.
Yeah,
I think is what's
he's definitely
here.
The Molly guy.
Did you not send the Supreme Court justice to get the Molly? That's a bad idea. Brett, are you hot? Oh my God, is it hot in here?
Give me a beer. I need to cool
God,
off.
It's so hot.
Give me an ice cold beer.
Oh, man. Wait, why? Why? Hey, why do you have rabbit ears on your head? I'm so hungry. Can I eat your necklace?
This is their favorite segment all summer long is Lauren's Beer Fest segment. Because then they can just make the rounds.
Yes, Lauren, right, tell us where we go to drink.
Post
right
up 3:40 on Fridays, guys.
Okay, so Spring Awakening, they did this. They're doing this in the...
It was at Soldier for a while. This is like the crazy EDM thing where people come and...
All the electronic music and dubstep.
Right. This is where they literally just have fire hoses for the people.
Pretty much. And there's minimal clothing on everyone, males, females. Mm-hmm. A lot of neon, like headbands. Bright neon stuff that'll glow in the dark for the, you know, their after night thing.
The flower headbands, specifically.
Flower headbands are a little more Lala. They wear just like straight neon, like, you know, construction worker neon green color type stuff.
And fuzzy boots.
Yes. Or like the snowboard... Have you ever seen people wear those? Like, they look like the snowboard boots that you buckle into an actual snowboard, those type of boots. They get crazy with it. Yeah, it's
that
nuts.
That would be so uncomfortable.
Everybody looks like Miley Cyrus, wants to think they're Miley Cyrus. Something like that. Essentially
There's someone naked on a wrecking ball.
Miley Cyrus might have even aged out of the demographic for that.
Yes. Even she might be an outcast at the Spring Awakening.
Because all the kids were coming from Hoffman Estates in the first place for this, right?
Exactly.
They decided to put it.
Exactly.
So one parent volunteered to do it in their backyard.
Fine, we'll have it here this year.
Is it at that stadium out there?
Sears Center?
That would be that's on Prairie Stone Parkway, but it's at Poplar Creek.
There was a Poplar Creek, but did they redo Poplar Creek? It's the same area, but they just, because they tore down the old amphitheater there. So I don't know.
Hearing that name, though, is fantastic.
I know. It does take you back, doesn't it? The only issue is that people are going to get lost in the woods.
That's
basically what's going on.
Intentionally or unintentionally.
That's going to happen. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time now.
The only other thing would be a bunch of art fests and beware of naked bike riders tomorrow because...
Oh!
Yes.
Are we going to see this?
Oh, I have gotten caught in this a couple of times.
The World Naked Bike Ride. Yeah. Yep, that's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
What time does that start?
So it says roughly 6 to midnight, so people start to gather around 6. I think they take off at 8, but they don't...
Off at 7:55 and then they leave at 8. Yeah.
To my knowledge, they still haven't disclosed where they're meeting yet because they like to wait because they don't want a bunch of creeps just hanging out.
Oh, people wanting to see naked people are the creeps, but them getting butt naked and jumping on a divvy are not the creeps.
Hey, right. By the way, I'm not judging.
By the way, if you are a divvy rider, you do need to buy Clorox wipes for the next month.
Industrial size.
Yeah. Because I've seen what happens here, and these people are really naked. I mean, they are really naked.
You guys seen the B-roll on CLTV? It's fantastic.
Yeah,
just all blurred out.
Yes, we're showing it now. Yeah. And the funny thing is about the seat, the racing bike seat.
Oh, yeah.
It's really designed for people to wear pants.
Yeah.
Right. Because
you get wedged up there.
Right. Otherwise, it's a penetrative act. It's illegal.
Oh my gosh.
All right, I gotta go. Thank you. Jen, what's coming up in the news at the very top?
Oh, it's been 25 years since the state raised the gas tax, but now's the time.
And Lauren's traffic is being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's Effin' Friday on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, as named by Kevin Powell.
It's Friday. Gotta Everybody's checked us. Out in the summer on a Friday, the second they wake up.
And that's really true. Soon as I looked outside today and it was sunny, I'm like, oh, dude.
F it.
Do we have to go to work? Because these jobs really suck, you know? Right. It's really hard.
So tough.
It's hard to sit here and talk for 4 hours.
18 floors above Navy Pier in beautiful Lake Michigan and downtown Chicago.
You really got to prep yourself to go in. Yeah, it's not easy.
It's excruciating.
It's crazy. All right, so Jen DeSalvo's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. She's the only one who's really working here because she's got to make sure that everything she says is somewhat factual. We no longer, and when Lauren does too. Kevin and I don't have to worry about that at all. Kevin, in sports, we could get it wrong.
I'll
it
get the
matter.
Scores accurate. Other than that, we're just
ifish.
Ifish.
Right. We'll know who won and lost. That's all. We'll cover your bets. Right. But we'll do all of that. But first, we've got this before the news. We're Concha with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN, WGN everywhere, WGN app, anywhere Google tells you to go, wherever we are, that's where we are. And Anna off today. She disappeared, actually, after we were all out for dinner last night. And we just don't know.
Nobody does the Irish goodbye quite like Anna DeBlantis. You blink and she's gone.
Right. That's really true. She does that, hey, look over there, or sometimes throws something in a direction. And we, like,
a glass of wine to distract everyone.
Right. And then, like Labrador retrievers, we go that way, right, and then she's gone.
Classic maneuver.
I don't know why.
I'd almost be more worried if we had heard something. Since we haven't heard anything, I'm pretty sure she's great.
She's doing just fine.
No news is good news,
yes,
is the way
exactly.
She looks at it. I don't want them to know where I am because I don't want to do this again. It's basically what she's saying. All right. In the studio with us right now, listen to this. On Father's Day weekend, Chicagoans Joe Bechtold and his wife, Kathy McRae, are going to be competing in Crossing for a Cure, a long-distance endurance paddle challenge. Now, I don't know. Last week
somebody was on who had climbed Mount Everest, and now this, and now I really feel like I need to get going and moving and doing something important.
I know, I'm so sore from golf, and these people are paddling
golf!
So
climbing,
far.
And paddling, and running.
Golf.
I swung a club.
This is really bad. All right, well, it's better that I just ask the questions before I try to figure out exactly what they're doing here. All right, so Joe and Kathy, you're doing this for a charity, right? You're doing this for a cause, very important cause to you, right? So let's get the heavy stuff out of the way before I start making fun of what you're about to do, but go ahead.
Okay, so it's really not to make fun. It's an amazing thing. It's for cystic fibrosis, an organization, Piper's Angels. A friend of ours, Travis, his daughter Piper, at age 4, was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And for all of you that know, it fills your lungs up with crazy muckiness. And somebody had told him that there was a study done in Australia that if you're on the ocean water, it reduces the crazy, mucky flare-ups by 56%. So we cross for a cure, 80 miles to...
Okay, so you do this. So this is a fundraiser for CF, right? Which I raised money for CF for a number of years, doing charity concerts. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing organization because this... Before we get to the crossing part, because I really don't understand that part, I have to say that one of the things about CF is that they're getting closer to a cure, which is really an amazing thing.
Yes,
so
it is an amazing thing.
And that, if you can imagine, and these kids, and again, it affects children primarily. They're born with it, and then it develops, and then there's, they can drown in their own lungs.
A close friend of mine has cystic fibrosis. She spent a lot of winters in Florida and things like that because it was much easier on her. But double lung transplant, she's doing well right now. So
that's so good to hear.
Continue to do what you can do for cystic fibrosis.
That's why we're doing it.
Yes. Pipersangels.org is what we're talking about. All right, now, okay. So what you're going to do here, and I guess it's thematic, right? Because it's you're on the water, right? And you're gonna cross from the Bahamas to Florida.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And it's 80 miles.
80 miles. Gulf Stream. And there is a little bit of a push because you've got about a 4 to 6 mile push, but you're behind a boat and you're drafting off the boat and we're going to be in a relay. I'm going to actually try to attempt to do 80, but there's going to be times when I might, take a break. Kathy's going to take over, and we have two other paddlers with us.
How does one change the paddle? I mean, how do you jump in the water and you just get on board the thing?
You're continuously paddling, and you have a paddle with you, and you just...
And then I'll jump on his board and vice versa. And while we're paddling, we might be fed a peanut butter sandwich.
Now, these are paddle boards that we're doing this on?
14-foot. 14-4.
Ours are 14-foot, but you could paddle on anything. You could paddle on a prone board. You could be in a kayak. You could be in, some type of souped-up blow-up. It really doesn't matter.
There's different length paddle boards and circumferences. There's 26-inch, 28-inch, but primarily there's 14-foot, 12-foot paddle boards.
Uh-huh. The one you stand on, correct?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Correct.
That sounds exhausting.
So you see what's going on here? It's a big core workout.
Yeah.
I know this because I tried it once, and I realized I have no core. So this is the way that this goes. And when you're on this thing, what I would like a I'd be more than willing to do this with you. I need a 40-foot paddle board with an inboard engine, if at all possible. And now I'm with you guys. I'm with whatever you guys need. How long will this take you?
anywhere from 15 to 18 hours.
Wow. How is that possible?
Well, we're starting at 1 in the morning.
Yeah, we start on Father's Day weekend at 1 in the morning on Saturday, and hopefully, we will get there by dinner time.
So 4 to 6 miles an hour is what you think are yachts or whatever that is.
What sort of training has gone into this?
That's training. Are we supposed to train for this?
Oh, no.
Well, Joe?
You're just winging it? I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I was, during my youth, like an endurance athlete. So I have what you could say a pretty good engine because I did triathlons and road racing, et cetera. But we started training for this.
Man has 0% body fat, by the way. We're looking at him.
He's a year ago. Yeah. A year ago or so. And what you do is you try to get inside a gym. Five seasons in Northbrook. I in the winter, I can do a lot of my training indoors, cycling, swimming, rowing, and then strength training and a lot of balance work.
And balance work is the one thing, because I never thought I'd see him in a yoga studio, but he is now in a yoga studio doing hot yoga several times.
Kathy, what is it? Has this been for you too? Are you an athlete?
That's a very good question. No, marathons. I'm not. He thinks that I've run and done kind of like the mommy kind of athletics, but for the most part, he was a surfer, and I'd be with him on a surf trip. And honestly, I don't know if you've ever watched surfers, but unless they're really good, and honey, you're good, but you're not that good, it's not that interesting. So we saw people paddleboarding.
They're mostly falling off the board.
Mostly.
Yeah. This
not saying that.
I was at Banzai last year, and it, the whole time at Banzai, I'm like, and it was during the during the big competition, and they in North, that's in Hawaii, and there was, and it's like, oh, look at that. Oh, he's in the water. Oh, look at that. Oh, he's in the water. But if somebody gets on a run, it's amazing.
By
the way, I want to just say one thing about your husband. If somebody had said to me, what is his profession? When he walked in, I would have said professional surfer. So this works out. This is kind of he's got that sort of surf look. He just doesn't have the puka shells going right now.
Bro, you made his day.
Yeah. That's what he looks like. All right. So so you're doing this. When are you doing this?
Father's Day weekend.
Isn't this like shark season and stuff in that passage?
Yeah. Bimini's, there's a lot of sharks around the island.
So Joe, a code that if you see a shark, you say Finn. Yeah.
there is a lot. You're right.
Let's just hope there isn't a crew member named Finn. Because that seems to me to be the kind of name that guys doing, they're working on boats around there would have.
How many people do you do this with?
So, well, in our group, we're actually doing with a friend of ours who's a Northfield firefighter, Tim Wellington, and then there's another guy that's going to join our team who's from Jupiter, Florida. And then on the other teams, a total of about 250 people.
Whoa. That's a lot of people.
I know, and it's a lot of community, and that's what makes it fun, though.
That is great.
If I was out there by myself, I don't think that I'd be too happy. But
No. Well, they'd be making a movie about you if you were out there by yourself, right? It would be a Lifetime movie. This is mating season or something for the sharks too.
I know, but it really does help when people want to donate money. And to date, we have over $500,000, so I'm super thrilled
about
that.
They've done a really good job. There.
Think of what they're doing here, people. Just think about this. So, if they want to donate, if you would like to donate money, this is a very good thing to donate to, because it's Crossing for a Cure. That's the website, or PipersAngels.org. And it's money that goes for cystic fibrosis, and they're risking their lives. They're gonna, they're literally sharks. People like there's nurse sharks and stuff underneath. They go, oh, don't worry about those. Okay, fine. It's still a shark. I worry slightly about it, but that every once in a while, when you're in those kinds of waters and you see the real predators, you know them because they don't move like a nurse shark moves like a goldfish. The predators, they move like you know what they are, right? They are like, oh, no. Oh, that's not a good one right there. And you're on a paddleboard in the middle of the ocean. It is like a movie. This is like something that Blake Lively should be in, going from an island to a thing.
Canals eyes.
Yeah, like Quinn shows up. Right, do not, whatever you do, don't get off the paddleboard. All right, so 15 hours, best of luck. We need to hear from you when you get back.
We will.
Happy to come back.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
for
you, guys.
Sure.
Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And if people
awesome.
Are, what's the best way? Is there social media that people can?
I mean, you can go to Kathy McRae, my Facebook page, and donate, or you can simply go to Crossing for a Cure, and there's a Donate Today button, and you'll see the rolling tally of the money that we're gathering.
Piper's Angels.
Or Piper's Angels.
Don't give people too many options, because then they get lost in it. So let's stick Crossing for a Cure. That's
beautiful.
A good way to go. Crossingforacure.com.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Godspeed.
Yes.
Thank you.
Have you ever seen a shark's eyes? Like a doll's eyes? Have you seen it? Yeah, okay. All right, forget it.
That's you want the sharks.
Yes. Oh, my God. Now they're going to start fighting.
Really cool.
You like the sharks. That's what you like. All right, hold on a second. Let's find out.
Asking for directions on the pit. You made a wrong turn.
Jen DeSalvo's got the WGN news at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Well, Theresa May is out.
And make your Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best of 10 and stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 on WGN-TV. You know what I miss? Football on Sundays. With all due respect to Chicago's Best. Bears!
Well, but you got the big Bears thing this weekend.
Yep, Bears Convention, Bears 100 celebration in Rosemont. I'm going to go check that out tomorrow.
Okay. Go say hello to Kevin Powell if you see him there. He's the one who'll be wearing. He's going to shave his head, and he's going to pretend he's Brian Urlacher pre hair plug, and he's going to be
$20 an autograph.
Yeah, and because Urlacher's not going to be there. Now.
Nah, food poisoning.
So he says.
When does food poisoning last 3 days?
Bad ones.
Bad,
really?
Yeah, like hospitalized ones. I'm going to check some medical records. I mean, I don't know what he did. Listen, the guy is. I wonder, do you think it's possible? Where did he come up on the list?
He was, was he 14 and Singletary was 15? Something like that. He couldn't be that
10?
Upset.
You think he's, what do you think?
I don't know.
Seems like he has a temper. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think he's bitter about it. I don't know. Maybe he ate something real bad. Or maybe something embarrassing he doesn't eat. So you just, because food poisoning is the automatic excuse if you ever want to get anything. His stomach's not acting up. Like, all right, well, I get it. You can't leave. But maybe he's got something else going on. I don't know.
I like that, how you come up with it. It says something embarrassing. Cold sore. I don't know. What could it be? But now let's think about all the different embarrassing things you could have. Sty.
I've got a weird rash on my inner thigh. It really hurts when I walk. No, don't tell anybody that. Just go.
Forehead rash.
Right.
I don't know. It would have to be something that's very obvious.
Right.
Or a better offer. I mean, maybe.
Better offer? This is one of the biggest Bears celebrations ever.
Yeah,
what could be out there?
Yeah,
what are the fests Lauren's mentioned?
I don't know. Maybe the guys are like, hey, we're going fishing.
He's emceeing one of the events. Yeah. He didn't tell you.
Yeah, I think there could be other things. I just, the way I look
See, they're doing it pretty. It's the panels are all former players with current players. So Mitch is going to be with Jim McMahon on one of the panels tomorrow morning. There was supposed to be, I believe it was Buckus, Singletary, and Urlacher, which is that's cool to see all of them on the stage together.
The three best. Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. So, no 54. He tweeted that out today. Said something he must have ate, and then some emojis that looked like a green face and all those sorts of things.
Something he must, that when people say it's something I must have eaten, that is the full tip, right?
The tip off to the rip off?
Yeah. Because this is, if you're missing an event like this, and I know this, I know how to do this, you immediately go to the emergency room and get a doctor's note. That's the first thing you do.
It's got a whole schedule
for it. Right, I know exactly how to
Plus,
do this.
Plus, how long from the announcement to when he's supposed to be there? How many hours?
Well, it was tweeted 4 hours ago, and the orange carpet event, which is a nice touch, hosted by Luke Kanellis. There we go. I believe it starts about 5:36.
Okay. Well, then that makes sense. I was going to say, if it's 18 hours ahead of time.
3 days ago. Stomach hurts, man.
I can't make it. I got that thing.
Yeah.
I got that thing. I was going to be there, but I got that thing. All right. It's still, there's going to be amazing stuff there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basically everybody's there. All the 85 Bears guys, current Bears, Khalil Mack, Mitch Trubisky. And there's just so many good vibes around the Bears right now. I mean, I haven't been this excited for a Bears season in a long time. Even the year after the Super Bowl, because even the Super Bowl year, you're like, okay, you really got away with a very, very iffy offense.
Right, and a very lucky season.
A very lucky lot, yeah. And
ball bounced their way every time.
And the Bears just have a core that you you believe it. Obviously, the biggest question mark is Mitch, but I think we've seen it. I think with Mitch, you had more hope than Rex, which was blind hope. With Mitch, you're like, okay, he does have all the talent to be a good quarterback. It's just a matter of putting it together. So to me, I haven't been this excited for a Bears season, and it's cool. It's happening in the 100th year of the franchise. Bears-Packers opener.
Are you down? Are you in? Do you have the same feeling?
I am, but again, just as a true Chicagoan and Bears fan,
you're skeptical.
There's a little part of me that worries.
By the way, Tom Brady last night at the Bobby Kaye special ring handoff.
He went to Robert Kraft's house for the ring ceremony. They had all of the.
The whole team
was there, and they were all and they all got coupons for massage, which yes. I thought was a nice touch.
You can't confirm or deny if Ming Fu Lulu was there.
Mm-hmm.
But Brady chugged a beer. The beer chugging trolling of Aaron Rodgers continues.
Mm.
Is it another near beer? It was a wasn't
a
it
near
like
beer.
A,
it, or, it was in a glass. It was in a glass, and he was racing someone, and somebody's. You know, we talked about this yesterday. You see the inside of all these parties because somebody posted on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and the video is Tom Brady beating somebody in a beer chugging contest. We should do this as a show, a beer chugging.
Oh boy!
Oh, I'm not good at that.
No,
I'm not either. Actually,
no.
I know
it's so cold; it hurts my throat.
I do drink quickly, but not like that kind of quickly.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The beer bong is it, you know what? I get a little gassy.
A little gassy.
Yes,
yeah.
sort of a bloat. You know,
if it is too cold, it like burns your throat
it
as it goes down.
Yeah, or think Urlacher's a little gassy.
I think so.
A little gassy. I think so. By the way, next time I see him, he's going to kill me for this. All right, let us now move along. Jen DeSalvo's got the news, brought to you by Cars for Kids. It's time for me to mention I almost killed Yo-Yo Ma. Accidentally, of course.
What happened there?
I was driving him to his hotel in the mid-1980s from a concert that he did on our college campus. And the radio station had sponsored it because it was music, even though not the kind of music that we play. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to drive him. And then my buddy drove Itzhak Perlman, and I drove Yo-Yo Ma in a Toyota Tercel with, I believe it had three tires, not four, from Granville to Columbus, Ohio, to the airport there, the Marriott near the airport, or whatever the hell it was. And you've never seen a guy so scared in his life.
White knuckle the whole way.
He looked like the guy from Get Out for a moment, where he's just like looking out the window, like, oh no! Because there was like a storm and the two-lane road.
A slow tear begins to fall from his eye.
He's imagining all these slow, sad cello music ever just swelling up in his head.
Scratching off the interior. Oh man.
Yeah.
How was Yo-Yo? Nice guy?
Yo-Yo. It's Yo-Yo. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the name of my son.
He said Yo-Yo. Hey, Yo-Yo. You just call him Yo.
On the college campus.
Yeah.
Yo!
He was a very lovely man. Right. I have met him subsequently. I'm telling that story, and he goes, I remember.
So, nightmares for Yo-Yo.
Yeah, it was
Yo-Yo and Ro-Ro on the road.
Yeah, that would have been... That was, you know, I did. I wrote that movie, but then I think that,
now it would be a podcast.
Right. And then, but he played the cello. It'd be very pretty during the podcast. Can I ask you this? Speaking of podcasts, you know how the millennials, they love the podcast. You know how I love to talk about millennials. Mm-hmm. This is a story that I think rings so true. I don't even know what to do about it. Millennial dads apparently have worse DIY skills, do-it-yourself skills, than their baby boomer counterparts.
Okay, we've gone through about 7,000 millennial reports. This one is 100% accurate. And I can tell you from firsthand, my dad can fix anything. Anything. I mean, he wanted to build a deck off the kitchen. He went and bought a book that was titled How to Build a Book or Build a Deck Off the Kitchen. And he built a deck off the kitchen by himself. And every time I would ask to help, he'd be like, no. I can handle this.
See, but now we have YouTube. You don't need books.
But the reason I'm horrible at it is because my dad was so good at it, he never needed my help. And if I did try to help him, I just slowed him down. So at some point, I think we all just mutually agreed, leave dad alone when he's fixing stuff.
My mother-in-law keeps telling my husband and I that we should get a condo because there's a lot of things to fix. And I don't necessarily know if Don can handle fixing all of them. And I'm like, hey, no, that's true. We didn't do the hands-on.
And then when millennial dads do fix something... no matter how small it is, they're so proud of it. They put it on Instagram, like, yep, fixed the doorknob, no big deal. Even though it was the most simple project. My brother, like, bought a toolbox, and now he thinks he's, like, Mr. Fix-It. But he doesn't fix anything, but he's really proud of it. It's even the smallest little thing. I agree with this report, millennials. Not DIY people.
But when I hear DIY, I think of, like, those people that go to the art class with a piece of wood, and they paint something on it, like... Those kind of projects. Do it yourself.
Do yourself. Projects. Network is huge. Art. People watch. Yeah. I guess just fixing the small stuff around a house, you know, a handyman rather than DIY. Because I feel like millennials are kind of like they can read, like they can.
A lot of people do DIY
design
stuff.
Design a living room.
People have shops out of DIY projects.
Right. But then when the random little thing in the house breaks, like somebody's glasses break, your dad like pulls out a little glasses kit. He's like, all
the
right.
The tiniest screw in
everybody
the world.
Give me 15 minutes and he fixes the glasses and they're good to go.
Not even just my dad. Like my mom knows how to fix the furnace. And we're like, hey, let's call a professional.
I'm afraid to touch the furnace. I'm like, what am I going to do here?
Yeah.
I'm going to blow up the whole house.
Really? I got to tell you something though. If I ever came home and I found my mom's feet coming out from underneath the furnace, I would know that something, that, oh my God, call 911.
I don't know how to work this bomb in the basement. That's, yeah, no, those are intimidating.
Yeah. I'm good with fixing almost anything in the house, except I don't want to deal with water or gas. Because if you're dealing, if anything that's plumbing, anything that's got a, that comes in a pipe.
One wrong lever and you flood your basement. Yeah,
right.
Hear,
yeah. The next thing you know, it could be particularly bad. But.
Another parents are always replacing toilets, and we don't even know how to change a toilet seat.
Mm. Well, you see, that toilet, that's easy.
The toilet, you know, toilets.
You got to get over the grossness of doing it. And then it's, and then, because what happens when you're unscrewing the toilet seat from the bottom, the base of the commode itself? You know, there's like, it's a weird sort of funky rust that is there.
Exactly.
It's,
you're not sure if it's rust or what
right,
is it?
Yeah, it is.
Is it a sludge? Is it a rust? What's happening
there's
here?
It's got a color. It's got a consistency. You're like, this shouldn't be here. And then, oh my God, it's green. Why is it green and reddish brown all at the same time? Because then you're thinking, it's black. Oh my God. And then in your head, and that's why I wear gloves for everything. I think is how I just have surgical gloves everywhere in the house. So that if I'm like cleaning a chicken, I can do that because I love to cook, but I just don't like the idea of when the stuff's raw. So I'm good for that. And if I got to change the toilet seat, I'm doing the same thing. But that's the easiest.
Same gloves? I hope not.
No, I do. I move them around.
This is what I'm a millennial, barely can fix anything. I am proud to announce that I did replace the toilet once. No big deal.
A full toilet.
A full toilet.
Mm. Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah.
I just did the mechanism that refills the tank
with the chain
with the actual pipe that refills and with the bouncer with the.
And then we took the toilet and put it on top of the hole and basically screwed it in. That's what I mean when I say
But did you put the tank in then the thing with the little ball that balances so that you know how high the water all that stuff? Did you do all that stuff?
No.
That's the complicated.
No.
I shouldn't have been doing it because all I could think about was I spent the next day. Right beneath the toilet on the floor below, waiting for the ceiling to collapse. That I had, you know, that there was like water everywhere. That's the thing.
We took the toilet out. We kind of left it fully constructed. Then the bathroom was remodeled, and then we just took the toilet and put it back on top of the hole and screwed everything back in. It's working just fine.
Also,
during the time that toilet was not on the hole and properly secured, we happened to have a party when bathroom was gutted.
Oh, no.
It's a true story.
No.
It was a late night. We're like, don't use the basement bathroom. It's getting remodeled. Nobody touch it. And all of a sudden, one of our drunken friends like waddles out, like stumbling out of the bathroom. We're like, what are you doing there? He just went to the bathroom, man. I go, mother of God. He went to the bathroom in the toilet that was just pulled off to the side in
God.
A gutted bathroom.
Wait, did he go in the toilet?
He went in the toilet.
But the floor was below the toilet.
The floor was below the toilet.
Oh, so
not the pipe.
So it just sat in the toilet.
No.
It just sat in the toilet.
Was he trying to get to the basement because he wanted to get away from everybody? Was it one of those things?
I think it was a double. It was a double action.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
This is
why you put signs on the door.
Well, that's a good point. We probably should have done that, considering there was some drinking involved.
I bet you'll do it next time.
Nobody used the basement bathroom. And then I saw him come out. I go, what are you doing in the bathroom, man? Just went to the bathroom. What?
what
did you
just say?
The music comes down.
In other words,
it starts to get dark. No. Yeah, I know that feeling.
You just basically went number two on my floor is what you just did.
It actually sat in the toilet because there was still some.
I don't want to get too descriptive. Done.
So we got the hazmat suits out, carried it out.
You should have made him clean it up.
He could barely stand.
You definitely don't want that.
Ugh.
He would have spilled it on the carpet.
You have to be responsible for your own.
I'd leave it to the next one.
We called in a unit for that. We're like, we need backup. Everybody get over here. All hands on deck. We've got an emergency.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That happened.
All right. Well.
Don't leave unattached toilets in gutted bathrooms when you're throwing a party, apparently.
I blame marijuana for all of this. Is what I do.
I'm sure that was around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a big marijuana guy.
Yeah. I blame marijuana for the whole why millennials can't do DIY projects. I blame it's because halfway through you lose interest, right? No matter what it is, because you must complete the task. That's the one thing about the DIY. The one thing about if you're gonna go in and repair something, and I can't do it until it's absolutely perfect.
Because I always remember my dad finishing a project, and then it'd be him posting up, be like, "Yeah, just finished it," and then he would crack a beer and enjoy a beer, like that was his victory beer. You know, he finished the project.
Millennials might not be finishing these day long projects, but they're finishing things like 4 years at college. So I don't think that necessarily.
And
where is that getting you? That's what I'd like to know.
In debt.
Right. $150,000 in debt. And you're like, okay, well, I got this going.
Right. And you still have to call your dad over to fix things at your house.
Exactly.
Because they don't teach that in college.
No, they don't.
No, because if they did, they could charge you a lot less.
I blame the elimination of shop in high school. This is what happens when you cut corners. No shop, we don't know what we're doing.
All right. Well, thank God there are sturdy men and women with tools and belts.
I feel like such a wimp when I'm watching my dad fix something. I'm like, I don't even know what he's doing right now. But he's fixing it, and I would have no clue how to do what he's doing.
Some people do, intuitively understand.
Yeah.
I have found myself, I replaced a valve of some sort. In a dishwasher.
Like in a heart or... Oh,
no,
okay.
No. Yeah,
okay.
No, it was a dishwasher. And I had to go on YouTube, and they've got these guys. You know how like the kids for the kids games, they got all those creepy guys like Squinky and you know, like PJ and Squee that talk to the kids about the games that they're playing. They're like, oh, it's Squinky. There's some dude who does it for everything in your house. Right,
like a Mr. Fix-It.
There's a guy, right?
Video style.
It's not Lou though, but it's like a British guy, and he knows how to fix everything. So it's an American product or whatever it is. So whatever, you just look it up, and then there's the guy, and he's taking it. He's laying things out, and it goes.
You just Google this guy,
yeah, and you just scrub. Just Google replacing valve. And this guy does the whole thing for you. And somehow it seems it's so much better when he does it than when I do it.
Of course, yeah.
But I got it done. Now it works, sort of.
I had to call actual Mr. Fix-It once because, again, tales from the party, somebody dropped a shot glass down the sink drain, and then we turned on the garbage disposal.
Oh, no.
And there was glass everywhere, and then it was all jammed. But he walked me through it, and he fixed it.
Lou Manfred, this is actual
Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah. Now that's the beauty that you have of working with WGN.
We got a guy for everything in Chicago, in WGN.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you need, how did he fix it?
So there's a little nozzle below the garbage disposal, and if you just put the wrench in there, you have to basically manually turn the garbage disposal as hard as you can, and then eventually breaks the little pieces of glass small enough where the garbage disposal motor can actually fire it again. That's the gist of it.
I'm surprised you didn't have to replace it.
That's what we thought. See, if I didn't have Mr. Fix-It or if we call my dad, we probably would have been like, well, we're screwed.
I would have spent hundreds of dollars buying a new one, but thanks to Mr. Fix-It.
You're Googling.
You should have made the floor pooper come over and fix it. That's what you should have done. All right, Jen DeSalvo, she's got the news at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
Well, all the rain that we've had is causing big problems for Illinois farmers.
Coming up, Jen DeSalvo's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. She'll get you all caught up at 5 o'clock. Then a top 5 Carnarvon Wagon Rolls. We got live music Friday. We got blues musicians that are going to be here because Blues Fest is happening as well. So we got that. And then Sox Royals. And as Kevin has been saying, that series has gotten a little chippy. I think the three of us have been to, Lauren, you and me have been to almost every single Sox Royals game this season.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
Just because we want to see the blood on the field is what we want to see.
Tim Anderson's been in the center of all, but he's played well, and he's sort of been like the guy kind of instigating this, and I love it. It makes the Sox Royals series in early June all that more exciting.
We were a part of the crowd that stood at that second pitch thrown at him.
Yeah.
A week or two ago now. Oh, man, everyone was fired up in that crowd.
And then after the game, Tim Anderson straight up goes, I don't like him. I don't like the Royals.
It's a new rivalry. I'm digging it.
I'm digging it, too.
Yeah, that is a good thing. Because you know rivalries in sports are the best. Obviously, you know, you have one of the oldest in professional sports, in American professional sports, with the Bears and the Green Bay Packers, you know, starting the 100th season of the NFL, right? Couldn't get better than that. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day the 250th anniversary of the of Major League Baseball will be the Royals and the Sox still hating each other over the Tim Anderson brushback.
I'm here for
it. '19. All right, well, we'll see. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
And this is, I'm telling you, this is the moment. Sox are playing really great. They had a little, you know, a little trouble in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. But once they got past that, I think, you know, this is for what ails them.
I think so.
It's becoming appointment viewing. It really is.
Yep.
Exciting.
Yes, it really is. It's true. And especially now that the hockey season is just about to end and we're not at football yet. But we can. But now it's time to watch the NFL Network and watch all of last year's games. That's a do. Like, and then maybe get a clicker out and go, yeah, I should have gone this way. I should have gone that way. I'm not quite sure what he just did. All that. It's a ton of fun. All right. And what else? Oh, yeah, Mr. Richard Roper will be here as well. He'll just go back over what you should and should not see this weekend. Did the full in-depth reviews. That's at WGNradio.com. The full podcasts are up for that. But he'll get you all caught up on all things entertainment for the weekend. And, the world's largest rooftop, offshore rooftop.
It looks so cool.
Is just opened in Chicago, of all places. We'll tell you where that is. With Anna DeBlantes. Anna disappeared after our dinner out last night. Cannot tell you where she is or what happened to her. All I know is that we have not seen her. Apparently someone has spoken to her to know that she is safe and well taken care of.
She just didn't want to tell any of us.
Yes, but she did the greatest, as Kevin calls it, the greatest of the Irish goodbyes. She threw something in one direction and ran in the other. It was like J.J. Bittenbinder told her that, you know, in case you're being mugged, take your money, always have a money clip, and throw it in one direction.
We really did turn around and she was gone. I had no idea where she went. But she's all right.
You all right there? You all right there? Yeah, you okay?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. I have a message from Anna. She says, don't speak to her until Monday. And if you don't reach out, just let her be and everything will be fine. So.
All right.
I'm her spokesperson. I'm all red right now.
So. It did get a little wacky last night. Yeah, I think it's as far as one can tell.
It's always nice to go to a restaurant where you walk by various pictures of yourself at different stages of life on your way up to the bathroom. such promise, such a bright, shining lad.
I had to take a picture of that picture, and I will save it forever now.
How dare you.
Yeah. Would you like to see Roe and Roper on the wall at Gibson's?
Yeah.
Still about halfway up the stairs, and you just make your way to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's sort of mid-career. That's the way that I look at that one. There was one in there like that looks like my high school graduation picture with a WLS microphone in front of me. I'm like, did I do that in high school? I don't remember.
Plus, it takes like 30 minutes to get out of there because Rich and Ro are hugging and shaking hands with half the restaurant. They seem to know everybody that was.
The last guy I hugged.
Hey, guys, Ben, how you doing?
The last guy I hugged turned out didn't know him. Didn't know me.
Hey, Rich!
I was like, oh, you, man, you're still making the best steaks in town. He's like, I sell life insurance. Why are you leaving? Sorry about that, buddy.
All right. So you know what it's time for? Sorry. Yes, we do.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Yeah. Oh.
There was so much room. Selfish move.
Every millennial has drunkenly sang that song. I'm just going to put that out there since we were just talking about millennials.
Oh, I could see you doing that.
Oh, thousands of times.
I can see that's your move. Yeah, that's your late night move,
isn't
it?
And you always think you sound good. You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very hard one to pull off. Well, after 1,000 performances and over 1 million fans in the seats in Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace, the Coliseum, they're in. Celine Dion is calling it quits. She is ending her residency at Caesar's Palace.
Wow.
Until her next residency at Caesar's
Palace. It's a long one.
4 million fans. 4 million. Four million people.
And she does those monologues in between the songs where you forget that she's a French Canadian. What's this? My husband's gone. What happened?
Right. Her husband, who was like, I mean, you know, there's May, December. And then there's May and next May.
He's no longer with us, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, her heart went on.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he met her when she was like 15, right? Wasn't that, it's like the whole thing. And then they, you know, he was like 60 or something. Yeah. Anyway, it was a beautiful, thing.
It's a lovely tribute we're doing to Celine's last performance at the Coliseum.
I mean, it was all nice. It's all good. It's all fine now. And it's Canada. We can't do anything about it, right? Can't get all upset.
The residency had a good run.
Yeah. Definitely. She's going to be just fine. I think she's going to be just
that song alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she has like a castle or something in Quebec.
She hits me up for $100 every time I drunkenly sing that song. She's definitely fine.
Yeah. Bonjour, Laura. Bonjour. 22 years ago, Titanic. Believe that. Can you believe that?
Wow.
22 years ago, yeah.
We've been arguing about that stinking door for 22 years now.
Leo.
I remember seeing that in theaters and looking around and wondering why everyone was crying. Because
are you dead inside?
I guess so.
What, I mean, you know,
you're a child. 22 years ago it came out?
Yeah, 97.
So it was PG. I think it was just PG still.
It was a PG-13, but there was Kate Winslet.
Right, so I remember it was like I went to the theaters.
But it was artsy.
Right, it was artsy, and I remember my grandma took like me and all my cousins and stuff to see Titanic, this big, great. And then and when that scene came, it was like me and my cousin
cover the eyes,
giggling in a full theater of a naked.
That's a Leo move. That probably wasn't even in the script. You know, I do a little pencil sketching.
Right.
So maybe Kate could lose her top, and I'll draw her. Okay, Leo.
You know, let's go full nude.
Every movie he was ever
full
in.
Nude.
Great Gatsby. You know, I think Gatsby was a little bit of an artist. Leo.
It's a little bit of a twist here. Remove your clothing.
The old lady in that movie was my great uncle's ex-wife.
Gloria Stewart.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Your great uncle's ex.
Yeah.
How Wait, that makes her ex, Leo DiCaprio. The ex.
Right.
Yeah.
She
That's
was fantastic. The one he drew.
Yeah.
Aha.
Right.
Now it all makes sense.
Yeah, that would right. He would not Leo DiCaprio. I don't think. Anyway. All right. What do we have? Yes, here. That's what. Yeah.
Number four.
Such a name.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You're such a name. Sweet confusion under the moonlight.
Dr. John.
Oh, wow.
New Orleans icon has died. Mac Rebenack is his name. He began playing music in New Orleans at a young age, eventually became a session musician, recorded with the Rolling Stones, Van Morrison, Sonny and Cher, Frank Zappa, Harry Nilsson, and others. We were just talking about this yesterday.
Mm.
We were just talking about The Last Waltz. He was in The Last Waltz as well.
Right. Yeah.
He's in film as well. He's one of those sounds, right? Dr. John, a unique sound and a great producer, too. He was a guy that was around for a lot of stuff. And he was also said that his name, Dr. John, was inspired by a 19th century voodoo practitioner. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's that whole...
Well, yeah, he's very colorful. He yes. You know, the colorful outfits and everything. Big, larger-than-life personality, too.
And that's half the French Quarter, is like voodoo practitioners, right? Talk about Celine Dion, you know, clipping Lauren for $100. The voodoo practitioner, you're walking to one of those shops in New Orleans, and you're buying a little icon voodoo head for $400. You go, this will bring you great luck and bring great sorrow to your enemies. You're like, what? Okay, fine.
Have some true blood.
Right, when you're holding a vuvuzela full of a hurricane, you're like, yeah, that's good. I'm good.
That's true.
Let's go.
That's very true. All true.
1973, he did this.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line.
Yeah, what a great sound he had.
Yeah, very cool. A huge hit.
Now, he wrote and performed the theme, My Opinionation, for Blossom.
Don't know about the future, that's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting off your breath.
See, now this is, I mean, okay, I get it. But when you go from right place, right time to, like, you know, every Wednesday night, the theme at 7:30, it gets creepy for me.
Yeah, they were doing that for a while. They'd get musicians like Andrew Gold did. Thank you for being my friend for a sitcom, and they'd get like some of the popular musicians to do that.
And then, it took another turn. It went straight from the sitcom to the commercial break.
Love that chicken from Popeye.
Oh man,
what do you think made him the most money out of those two songs?
Yeah, exactly, for sure. That for sure.
I didn't even realize that was him all these years. I just thought someone tried to sound like Dr. John.
There he is, guy. Mac Rebenack.
God bless.
Yep. All right, here we go. Checking. Well, no, wait. We're going to check in with Jen DeSalvo first, find out what's going on.
Well, there's new information on the overnight fire at the shopping center in Roseland.
Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe. Micah Mater and Joe Donlan. That's our boy. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 9.
Yeah, Andrew Donlan. God, I miss him.
I miss him. He was supposed to be in golf, but he hurt his back, I think, or something.
There's a lot of clenching on this show. Do you ever notice that, Richard?
I have noticed that.
We just like him.
That's true.
I like Lauren's impression.
This is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Checking in at
number 3.
Big Little Lies is back this Sunday. Even more sisterhood, even more secrets. The HBO series, based on the novel by Leanne Moriarty, wasn't supposed to go past season one, but Laura Dern says fans just couldn't get enough of the Monterey Five, as they're known, played by Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Shailene Woodley, and Zoe Kravitz.
Truly, it is the fans that and everyone's amazing support that I think opened the door for Leon, our amazing novelist, to kind of consider where else would it go. And I think she'd had a lot of ideas, and this inspired her toward Novella, which was like a Bible for David Kelly to adapt again.
Yeah, okay, I get it. It's self-important actresses at some point, or actors for that matter.
I always feel like when they say, oh, we only intended to do one season or four seasons, it's just a way of them being like, oh, we're above getting canceled.
It's a way of them saying
the fans demanded our magnificence.
There was more cash to be drained
out
of
this. That's exactly what they found out. It was got 16 Emmy nominations, won 8, and had big numbers. And then all of a sudden, Leanne, our esteemed novelist who wrote the Bible, was inspired.
So she wrote a second book.
She wrote a novel that was a big bestseller. And then after this did so well, she quickly wrote a novella, which is basically just a shorter novel.
A treatment is basically what it is.
Exactly. And as I think I mentioned, Meryl Streep now comes back as Alexander Skarsgård's mother. She was not in season one. And in the novella, she actually called the character Mary Louise because that's Meryl Streep's real name. So they knew they were going to get Meryl Streep.
See, I'm bummed that you said that you should watch the first season if you want to watch the second, because it looks good and I was interested. And now I feel like I have to do that.
Was it really 10 hours?
Yeah, but once you watch, Lauren, it's only, I think, maybe 8 episodes. Once you watch season one, you'll binge it because one leads into another. But this one, I mean, it's all about the events in season one and how they're reacting to it. So,
Well, got something to do this weekend.
There you go. Trust me, I think you'll love it. Let me know.
Okay. We'll get right back to you on that.
Come on, everybody.
Number 2.
Oh, you knew this was going to happen. You know, our producer was not going to let this moment go unnoticed. This is June 7th. Hmm. This would have been the 61st birthday of Prince Nelson Rogers. So, title, at midnight last night, although we don't know exactly what time zone midnight was last night.
Yeah, it was a little confusing.
There was a countdown for this during dinner.
Yeah, then nothing happened.
At midnight last night, 15 tracks of Prince music that was written by Prince but recorded by other people was released. So, and then a lot of people don't even realize that, let's say, the Bangles' Manic Monday was Prince. It's just another Sunday. So these are his versions of those songs.
This did not seem like Prince, but that's awesome.
Well, when you hear it, when you hear him do that, is there more of that, or is that just, was that, we just had that? All right. Oh, man. That, I like the way that sounded. I like that better than the Bangles version.
Oh, I like the Bangles.
You know, who doesn't like Susanna Hoffs, right? She wore Bangles.
Yeah. She walked like an Egyptian, too.
Sheila E.'s Glamorous Life. She wants to be glamorous life. She don't need
Now that arrangement's very similar, right, to the Sheila E.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah,
but she played those
a little
drums.
Heavier on the horn.
Yeah, yeah, she played the drums, Sheila E.
Now I have been. I have not heard any of these yet, so this one is very exciting for me. From the time,
Your favorite,
Jungle Love. Now,
somebody bring me a mirror, just like with Jerome, remember?
Yeah.
More time. Jerome would come out with a mirror.
I got a friend named Jerome, and all I can say to him is, bring me a mirror.
Oh, he must
I don't understand the... it's interesting, because they just have Morris Day. It's almost the exact same song.
Yeah.
They said Morris Day. But Morris Day's sort of self-awareness...
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Sells it.
In Purple Rain, his performance of that song is a showstopper, even in a movie filled with Prince performances.
And Prince... actually wrote a Kenny Rogers song.
Oh.
And here's Prince's version of You're My Love.
Oh, baby, you're my love, and I love everything you do to me. Yeah, yeah. You're my love, and I love you.
I think somehow this is the only time I'm going to say this, that the Kenny Rogers version might be a little bit better. It's funny, because there was this era that was somewhere between Sinatra and the new country movement, where country songs all sort of sounded like they were just sort of big ballady things with a little bit of that country two-step sound, and that was it.
Right there.
You know, but that was it. There was the music was just, the radio stations were filled with crap like that for years. But here's Prince writing it.
Do you think he just did that one night on a bat? Watch this. I bet I could write a song that Kenny Rogers can do a hit. Name an artist. And someone in the studio just said, Jerome. All right, write a song for Kenny Rogers. And he just, because he could just do any genre. All right, I'm going to bed.
Prince, one of those guys that like sang real high, but they don't like this. Yeah, that real like deep kind of weird. It was like, I'm going to bed. Don't anybody follow me in the elevator. Yeah. Okay. All right. Easy. All right. Checking in finally at
number one.
Oh, it's a big moment on the Steve Cochran Morning Show. Gail Kanata from West Chicago, the big winner of Pucks and Prague, or as I called it, Pucking and Prague. No one else called it that.
That's one lucky lady.
She'll be going to Prague with the Chicago Blackhawks as they open up their 2019-2020 season in the Czech Republic, October 4th against the Flyers. Team Hochberg, by the way. Team Hochberg is giving you a second chance to win a 5-day trip for you and a guest to Prague. The winner will be announced on the Steve Cochran Show on Friday, June 21st. But you got to go. It's an online contest only. WGNradio.com.
Okay.
It's up on the
front
page right there if you want to take part in that. But here she is. Here's the big winner from this morning. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, is Gail Kanata excited?
Let's go live now to the winner of the Pucks and Prague trip. Going to go to Europe with me, with my family. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner is Gail Kanata.
Hey. Oh, my God.
Gail, you're going, baby. You're going on a trip.
Oh, my God.
Huh? Pretty exciting.
Oh, my God.
Pretty exciting. Gail, you can help me storm the castle.
That is going to be such a riot. Thank you. I never win anything. Thank you, WGN. Thank you, Chicago Blackhawks. You are amazing.
There you go.
Gail, I just want to let Gail know I will pick up the ride, the Lyft ride to the airport when we go when she wants to, if she needs a plus one.
I see. You know what I saw? Now I figured it out. I figured out how Cochran got this done. He worked it in where he's the deal was he takes his family and then the listener with him on his trip.
Hey, that's why he's Steve Cochran.
Why did I not think of this?
Pretty darn good.
I'm sitting there talking to the Hawks like, yeah, we should go on the team plane, do all this. And they're writing it down in the air. Like, they're, oh, yeah, yeah, no. Ro, we'll get right back to you on it. Meanwhile, only Lauren is going to be the only one who's going to be there on behalf of this
She's
team.
A correspondent.
Yeah.
Yes. I was like, hey, yeah, I'll work this. I'll
but now they're going to put you to work. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That is still not working for me. I'm pretty much going to have a big, stupid smile on my face the whole time, but it'll be great.
All right. I'm sickened by all of this, and I'm jealous of everybody. And that is the way, that's the hallmark of a great radio star, jealous of everyone.
Can't wait to grab a drink with Gail.
Oh, that's true. I'm jealous of that now.
The top five at five.
Zen DeSavo's got the news brought to you by Schnala Supper Club.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, so.
Now, one more second thing.
I like ran from a cop. Like, what do we pay you guys for?
What do you mean you ran from a cop?
I mean, he turned his lights on me and got behind me, and as he was walking up to my door, I did a donut around him and left.
So you want to now see the officer, or what is your question?
I passed like four cops just driving around. Like, what are you guys doing?
Well, we're working on mini calls, sir.
That is a guy. We have to play that because that's the cut of the week. That is a guy who eluded police and then called to complain that he hadn't been arrested yet, that the police are not doing a good enough job finding him. So what does that tell you?
Wow. Not a good idea.
That is the greatest jag in Florida this week, and that says something. That's a big deal. All right, Carnarvon Wagon is out, and that's what we need on this show is we need another cocktail. That is the thing. This week has been filled with this.
Past 2 weeks or yes, 3 weeks, maybe.
Yes, perhaps. And we have found, do you realize that Chicago has the largest offshore rooftop bar in America? Do you realize that? Maybe even the world. I don't know. We'll say the world for now. Someone will have to prove that they're bigger than they are. This is at Navy Pier, offshore rooftop bar, the nation's largest rooftop bar. 1,000 people, is that right? Is that what you can fit up there? I don't even know which.
999
people.
999, little sign you see on the wall there.
999 people. That is, that's Kathleen Jenkins. She's the director of sales and marketing. And Michael Schrader is here. He's the chef de cuisine. And this is interesting because you're going to be open year round, it says.
That's correct.
Now, you are at the east end of Navy Pier.
Yes.
Sort of just before you get to the Grand Ballroom at the end there. Okay. There's been a deck there forever that's been totally underutilized. Making it into a gigantic rooftop is genius.
Amazing.
It's the best views. You know, one could argue it's the best waterfront views in the United States in a lot of ways because of the way you can see downtown Chicago rise up on one side and the North Shore and the north side and then the south side. And you damn near see across to Michigan on a clear day. I mean, it's amazing. And I can just imagine for fireworks or the air show or what that's going to be like. But you're now in January, you're going to be open out there?
We'll be open.
What are you doing out there in January?
We've got a few ideas brewing, maybe some ice sculpture shot luges, ice fishing huts, that sort of thing.
Oh,
got some ideas in the works.
Very
we're from
interesting.
Chicago, we can handle it.
Yeah, well,
It's a little cold.
Yeah, it's a little, well, we'll see. All right, well, that's a great idea. All right, so let's just talk about the summer, though. I mean, this is, like, it's happened already, right?
It's happened. We left and it was packed.
What? How long have you been open?
1 week. We opened last Friday.
People already know it. You don't need us. People already know about this. They're already going. It's crazy. We're looking at it right now at our window. That's
amazing. What a great locale. And I remember way back in the day, the only place you get a drink in Navy Pier was a guy named Jim had a little shack at the end of the pier, right?
Well, there's Rockies. There was a guy selling shrimp and beers in a can. Yeah. At the end of a parking lot. And then there was always a longshoreman that had tall boys that you could find that.
Just wanted $2 or something.
He'd keep them in the lake to keep them cold.
Different level.
Yes, it's very different. Here. Yes. All right. So, well, let's talk about Chef, what are we doing for the food?
About half of our menu consists of seafood, and the other half is, what I like to call things that people can identify with, but are kind of an elevated level once you get them.
Okay.
Things like really nice prime burger, chicken sandwiches. We're doing steak tartare, which I brought in for a bowl.
I just consumed. Outstanding.
Doing steak tartare over there? What are you doing with the steak tartare?
Kevin's hiding all the food right now, just so you know.
We take filet and we chop it up.
Grind it up real nice.
And I put in salted capers in there from Sicily.
Oh.
Worcestershire vinaigrette. I make kind of like a classic riff with some nice Arvum grape must and some really nice microgreens.
Steak tartare is not for the uninitiated, right? I mean, there's people, you don't want to explain to people what it is before they have it, but it is so great. It is like the most, and just a little bit takes you a long way.
It's one of my, I love steak tartare. When I see it on menus, I always go for it, and I wish more people did it. But I think we have a pretty good one. I hope you guys like it.
It seems like more and more restaurants are putting it on their menu when it feels like it was sort of a classic I remember as a kid it was like the fancy dish that you didn't really get that often. Yeah. Now you see it all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, again, it's like the classics are classics for a reason, They're great dishes. I think it's like, again, I brought deviled eggs today too, good. But they're not like your grandma's deviled eggs or Maine lobster deviled eggs.
Exactly.
Thai hot sauce. And
my Aunt Sandy doesn't put fish eggs on top of her deviled eggs. Very good.
But,
maybe you should tell her to do that next time.
She just does a traditional deviled egg, which are delicious, but this is a whole different thing.
Aunt Sandy's going to think that Kevin got pretty fancy once he got on the show.
She's number one in my deviled egg power rankings still. These are number two right there.
All right. Now, just to make ourselves feel better and also check off a box legally, we did talk about the food. Let's talk about the liquor. There's a bag here that looks like an IV bag.
It's kind of like a grown-up Capri Sun, if you remember those from childhood.
That's good. Oh, gosh.
It's called the Secure the Bag. It's our version of a hurricane. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of passion fruit, lime, orange, grenadine. It's exactly what you want.
Yeah, that's daddy's juice right there. You got to make sure you keep that on the high shelf. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, my.
But you get to poke your own straw in, because that's very important with the Capri Suns.
And always tough after a few.
You're right.
Of them.
Yeah, it's actually very tough.
And not at the moment. But we do have curly straws.
It's probably better after people have been drinking.
Yeah, let the professionals just hear it.
Right, yeah.
It's really, I love this.
Because when that straw ends up in someone's eyeball, man, at the Capri Sun. You know, when an eighth grade fight breaks out and the Capri Sun straw becomes an actual weapon. In the lunchroom, which, as I recall, had happened once. You don't want that up on a rooftop. This is a beautiful thing, the way they're doing it. You got the crushed ice.
If you're like, you're a softball player, you pull a hammy or something, you can ice your thigh and then have a drink at the same time.
Treat
your injury.
I mean, I was like, I've seen this thing on a hook over my bed a number of times, but it turns out that this is
a nice metaphor for you, then, bro. The alcohol bag.
It's really good. Plus, minimizes the danger of spillage also. We need this sometimes. We're going to put your drink in a bag for you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's perfect for Anna. Oh.
Yeah.
Too bad. Shots fired.
Oh, wow. Wow.
What? You guys always point out she's spilling drinks. I just happen to be the victim of the spillage all the time.
She did it again last night. Mm-hmm. She found a way. All right. Let us now, let's talk. Wow. There's a little clearer guy over here. What happens in here?
It looks like a glass of water. It's actually our Beach Fire Margarita.
Yeah, don't bring the 8-year-olds up there, by the way.
No.
Mommy,
21 and
older.
See, that's the face I made, Rich, when I took a sip.
That's a drink.
It's the Beach Fire, you said?
It's called the Beach Fire Margarita. Yep, yeah. Made with Blanco Tequila, Triple Second Up Dog. So it's I got a little bit of white balsamic in it, exactly.
A little hair on your really chest after this.
Aren't you supposed to say, what's delicious. Up, dog, if anytime anyone says up, dog?
You know what this does?
Nothing.
Right.
What's up with you?
Okay. Do you know what is perfect about this? Because if you're like on a beach at like sundown and people start to pull out the beach wood and they want to get, you know, like a fire going or whatever, there's that smell of beach wood in the air as it's burning. You actually make that taste like this. That's one of the best smells in the, you know, odors in the history of odors, on the spectrum of odor. There's bad odors and there's good ones.
Oh my
goodness. And that's one of the best. And so there's sort of a, there's a beautiful taste to this.
Yeah, wow. It's real smooth.
Extremely refreshing.
It's a good one, for sure.
Yeah, it's real smooth. That could be a real problem, right?
Yeah, that's definitely a problem.
That's what I thought. Okay. All right. And now, if people want to get there, let's talk about parking, because this is something that, obviously, if you're going to go there and spend all day, you should Uber, get in and out that way, right? Is that the best way to
totally.
Do it?
We always recommend a safe ride home, of course.
Right.
However,
does it need a driver?
Does need a driver, or if you're just coming up for, you know, one and a snack or something. We do offer valet every day, starting at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Starting next week, we'll be open at 11 a.m. We do have discounted valet parking on the east end of the pier. So you need to go all the way down like you're going to the Grand Ballroom. Mm-hmm. And there's a great circle drive. That's where our valet is. That's where your Ubers can be dropped off. There's even an option to select the back end of the pier, which is the best way to go. But valet, really,
select
if you're driving.
In what way? What do you mean?
When you go on the, one of the rideshare apps, for example, you can pick.
So your destination would be
right front, middle, or back end of the pier. You want to go to the back end of the pier.
There's drop off right at the entrance to the pier, and that far east is the pro move anyway. Anytime you're going there, because most people when they're driving, they just want to pull into the first right turn to go to the garage there, and you're better off going all the way down to the
go end. All the way down. Exactly.
Fireworks have started, correct?
They did. They
okay, there's no
Memorial
better
Day
spot
week.
To watch the fireworks at Navy Pier than
right
here.
Next. It's right over our head.
They are shut off like right on the south end of our dock or the pier right there, and there's no better view. You can even sit at the bar inside and see the fireworks through the walls and the ceiling, which is really
I love
really
that.
Special.
I don't want to run to the fire. I don't want to leave my seat to go see the fireworks.
Right.
You know, that's all. No,
fighting the
crowds. I'm good right here.
Wednesdays, Saturdays, correct? Fireworks?
Wednesdays at 9:30, Saturdays at 10:30.
Well,
show
that's
outing.
The best
that's
summer
a show
night.
Outing on a Wednesday right. situation.
There you go. And I would imagine this is also
Kevin Holmes has got
marking
a clip.
The calendar.
He knows
over
what
there.
He's done. He's got a clipboard now.
Like, let's see. Right. Next Wednesday is not good for me. The following Saturday, I think I can get you in. Get the double legs coming.
I enjoy the show outings. You know.
Oh yeah. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Except the audience when they have to hear about them. Oh, all right. This couldn't be better. Offshore rooftop bar at Navy Pier. And Navy Pier is constantly improving, right? I mean, there's a constant. Every year they've done something amazing out there. And this is just another iteration. And it is really, on a day like today, there is no better place on the planet Earth than to be out on Navy Pier in Chicago. Right? So
beautiful.
Go check it out. And again, now look for, do you have a website? Because if people want to take part in either 4th of July or the air show, I'm assuming, I'm not sure that it's all planned out yet, but I'm assuming people are going to want to do that.
Yeah, we're working on some ticketed events for both 4th of July, the 3rd and the 4th, as well as Air and Water Show. Our website is drinkoffshore.com. Because you're going to have a drink offshore, of course. And
now, are there international rules out there? Because it's a mile out of the lake.
No, unfortunately not.
No Cayman account for your betting or anything.
And our Instagram and all that is Drink Offshore, offshore Chicago. You could find us
all right.
Anywhere.
There we go.
Wow. Very cool.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thank you for my IV. I was asking for that this morning. I had no idea. Be here this afternoon. Thank you. All right, let's check in now. Jen DeSalvo's got the news at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
And four people have been charged with impersonating a police officer and knocking on front doors in the western suburbs.
Check it out. Read about it. Heard about it. Now it's me. Should have seen it coming. Would have stayed free. The house was mine, now she got the key. I signed a bad contract law.
Oh, who hasn't?
I signed a bad contract.
Taranzo Cannon is with us. He's a blues man. He's a blues man from the most important place you can be as a blues man from, and that is the south side of Chicago. There's just no way. Well, you don't have to be born here necessarily, but you do have to have, your art must be informed by the streets of the South Side of Chicago. And there is, he's got an amazing backstory, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But he's also an amazing artist. He's going to be at Blues Fest, which of course started today, as it is, you know, it throughout the Millennium Park area in downtown Chicago. You can see him on Sunday, and he's going to be at the Budweiser Crossroads stage, it says here. Do I have that right? I think I got that right. Do I have that right? I hope I have that right. 2:45 p.m. And just in case anybody's, you know, and that's Chicago. That's Central Daylight Savings Time.
They can come 2:45 a.m. if they want to, but I won't be there.
Doesn't it seem that that's the time to see the Blues, right? At 2:45 a.m. I mean, what is the latest you have gotten home? Well, I guess earliest you've gotten home after just leaving the club. What have you played to at your latest moment in your career?
When I played a place called the Kingston Mines, I would go in when it was light, and then you get out when the sun is coming up. So
right.
It's, I think I beat the sun home a couple of times around 5 o'clock in the morning.
Isn't it amazing? Kingston Mines is one of those places on the north side where blues is paid for. See, that's the difference. It's made on the south side, paid for on the north side. Kingston Mines is one of those clubs that artists from, especially British artists and Australian artists and stuff like that, who revere blues artists. That's the place in Chicago that they want to, you know, that you can see. So I saw Sugar Blue there. Once. The harmonica player. Mm-hmm. He was, and he's the one from Miss You, from the Rolling Stones song. He is, I'm still deaf in one ear as a result of it, but what an amazing night. Because you get to be, because in these blues clubs, you're sitting right next to people, right? I mean, you're right, the people are right in front of you.
They heard you in, heard you in, heard you out.
Right, charge you $10 for a drink before $10 is fashionable, and you're out. All right, white kids, get out of here now. Let's go.
It is kind of like that, because it's all like DePaul. All my friends lived right around the corner from there. We used to go there all the time.
Yeah, exactly right. They just get them in, get them out. Pay the artist $10. That was one drink. It went, wait a second. All right, let's talk a little bit. So you grew up near the Robert Taylor Homes, right?
Two blocks from the, yeah. So I was, you know, yeah. Two blocks from the projects.
Yeah. And those were, at one point, you know, it was always said about the Robert Taylor Homes, the most dangerous 2 miles in America, right?
You got to know where to walk. You got to know how to walk. You know what I mean? You got to know how to talk.
And you also have to know, and you also have to look ahead and go, okay, now that is a bad guy right there, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the guys who were up to no good, they're pretty obviously up to no
good. You got to know when to cross the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
So where'd you go? Did you go to Dunbar?
I went to Dunbar Vocational, yes. Yeah. 86. Graduated 86.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm an oldie. Well, I'm a young blues guy, considering, but...
That's true.
I'm only 51.
The average age in blues is dead right now. But it's like, you think about, and some of these great artists, right? That you know, you grew up with. They're now starting to get to the point where, you know, the next generation off of Muddy Waters, the next generation down, starting to get to the, you know, to the point where they can't play anymore. They're
well, the next generation is, like you say, is from Muddy Waters, is people like John Primer. Sugar Blue,
yeah,
you know, Robert Cray, you know, and they're in their 60s, you know, and up, you know.
Yeah, think about that. Robert Cray's getting that old.
Robert Cray's, I think, almost 70.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Now, what drew you to the blues?
When I was a kid, I mean, I didn't know it was blues. I didn't have a genre, but that's what I heard at home. You know. As far as I wanted to play reggae, that was my first thing when I first picked up the guitar. Had my little dreadlocks, wanted to play some Bob Marley and all
that. Right, because Bob Marley was super hot in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, late 70s, early 80s.
And I fulfilled my dream. I played with a couple of reggae bands, but after a while, it's kind of like, you know, it was a kind of a click thing where, you know, you're the American, we got people coming in for, okay, all right. So I started playing blues because I went going to the jam every Wednesday.
And that was a different level of reefer, by the way, back then. That was not what those guys were smoking was totally different than what anybody else was smoking.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it because I am a CTA worker. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Okay. You can. Yes. That's a blues man, too, right there.
What are you trying to do?
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that those guys, when the Jamaican acts would come into these nightclubs back in the 70s and 80s, and they played, and there were actual reggae bars here.
Oh, yeah.
And the guys were here. And then they would play with the American musicians. The American musicians would disappear for weeks at a time because they couldn't remember where they were. It was a crazy thing. All right. So, favorite artist that that's not favorite artist. The moment that you were on stage with somebody and said, "Oh my God, Renzo, I cannot believe I'm standing here."
Otis Rush.
Oh, wow.
Buddy Guy. You know, it was like, whoa, like full circle moment stuff, you know? Things I've been practicing. I've been practicing to these guys' cassettes, you know, and at the time. And then when you're on stage with them and they trust you enough to be on stage with you, because there's a lot of guys, they say, he's not that great, he's not that good,
right?
You know, they won't get on stage with you. But when they trust you enough to get on stage with you or let you jam with them, it's pretty cool.
All right, if you want to see Taranzo Cannon, once you hear him, you'll want to see him tomorrow night. You can see him at Untitled, which is on Hubbard. Yes, yeah. Not Kinsey. I always want to see it. It's on Hubbard in Chicago. It's Untitled is a little hard to find because it's Untitled and they don't have signage, so you have to know exactly where you're going. But look it up, Untitled Supper Club. Great stage. That's a really good music.
I've never
right
played
there
before.
Wait till you play
first time.
You'll be shocked by it because it's one of those. It is like the original idea of like a downstairs sort of speakeasy nightclub.
Okay.
It's away from everything. And then again at Blues Fest. If people want to be at Blues Fest on Sunday, 2:45 p.m. the Budweiser Crossroads Stage. What do you want to play for us?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
A little song called Insurance.
Oh, good, because I could use some of that. Go ahead.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Here we go. Taranzo Cannon.
Oh, here we go.
My doctor said I'm going down slow. Was ailing me, he don't know. I got a job, but I'm still a working poor. He gave me one little pill and said, go get some insurance. Get some insurance on yourself. Insurance. 'Cause you too young to die. I went to the office just to see, to find some insurance to cover me. The most prices I can't afford. It made an atheist call on the Lord. Insurance. I need some insurance, y'all. Insurance. 'Cause I'm too young to die. I read the fine print sign on the line. I hope I got enough to keep from dying. After all the questions and the third degree, it felt just like a colonoscopy. Insurance. I need some insurance, y'all. Insurance. 'Cause I'm too young to die. Oh, yeah. I read in the paper the other day, a man lost his spouse. She's pushing up daisies, now he can't pay the bills. And now he lost his house. Insurance. He needs some insurance, y'all. Insurance. 'Cause you too young to die. Oh, here we go. I went back to the office with the plan, insurance card in my hand. He looked at it and said to me, pre-existing conditions come with a fee. Oh, insurance. I need some more insurance, y'all. Insurance. 'Cause I'm too young to die.
Oh, bro, I need an aspirin, but that costs a little bit too much money. I need 12 stitches, but all I can afford is 9.
We need to call United Auto Insurance is what we need to do and sell them this song.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we need, y'all.
Insurance.
What about the nurse's phone number? Maybe she can help me. Yeah.
Insurance.
Yeah.
Oh, That is awesome. That is any time that you can work that atheist and calling for the Lord kind of moment. That is a good line right there.
Well, thank you.
That's very, very well written. All right, we're going to come back. Toronzo Cannon is with us. 36th annual Chicago Blues Fest kicked off today already in Millennium Park, and you can see him on Sunday, one of the closing acts. He's going to be there at 2:45 p.m. at the Budweiser Crossroads stage. First, let's check in with Jen. What's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Well, the Mississippi River could reach record levels this weekend.
We have in studio with us a blues legend. He's my blues legend because he's sitting here with me right now. That's how it works. Toronzo Cannon is with us, and Toronzo is you were just talking about, you're just getting back from Europe, right? You've been playing all over
Baden, Switzerland.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. There's the adoration for the blues, especially in Europe and in places. It's changed the way Western European music was ever done, right? It was all those acts, so the British Invasion acts, they were all gigantic fans of blues artists, and that changed everything. And now we have Blues Fest here in Chicago, and you get to hear not only from your generation, which is our generation, we're close in age, that generation, and I'm a known blues man. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Roe performs with us on the side in private in his office.
Right. White Lemon Pledge was my blues name. And I got to, you know, the thing is that when you hear, it's essential. You know, starting with Robert Johnson, right? You go back to that initial sound, that recorded sound of just its raw emotion, a guitar and the emotion.
And the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that it changed music. It wasn't, you know, it was no longer a thinking man's thing. It was a soul thing. It came right out of the center of the body, not out of the center of the brain. And that is the difference here. And it happened right here in Chicago.
Yeah.
For much for better than for worse.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to see him tomorrow night, Untitled Supper Club, which is on Hubbard in Chicago, Hubbard between, don't tell me. Around LaSalle. I know. Is it between Clark and LaSalle? Isn't that right?
Yes.
We should have had that on the plug sheet. I'm sorry. They will sue me for this. And at Chicago Blues Fest on Sunday, 2:45, the Budweiser Crossroads stage. All right. Take it away. Walk It Off. Is that the song? Where? By the way, if people want to find your music, where are they going to go?
They can go Alligator Records. Because I understand iTunes is closing shop now.
Yeah. So, I don't understand what's going on there.
Yeah. So, but Alligator Records is the place to get it, or see me on the side of the stage, or out of my trunk.
You got the CDs going?
Out of my trunk on 43rd Street on the south side at 10:35 at night.
Okay. All right.
Slinging
CDs. I'll see you right there. You know, it's so funny you mentioned that. That's where I was going to be tonight at 10:45.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you got
to
do.
Earn to get this CD, brother.
Toronzo. Toronzo.
Yeah, risk a little something, brother. Come on.
Right, I got to get some skin in the game.
I'm slinging CDs, brother.
Toronzo Cannon, take it away.
I hope this is the right key. She didn't mean it. That's what she said. See, he was an old friend, and she lost her head. Now I know my woman is nice and kind, but now we don't know if the baby is his or mine. Oh, I gotta walk it off. You don't know about that, bro, do you?
Not a damn thing.
I gotta walk it off. Feeling so strong, might do something wrong, so I'ma just walk it off. My wife in the club, my girlfriend on the way. I'm standing here nervous while I'm on stage. She came right in and sat right down, wearing the same dress I bought them both when I was out of town. I gotta walk it off. Maybe you know about that one, Ro, maybe.
I don't know what you're talking about, and my attorney's right here.
Gotta walk it off. You plead the 4.5. The fifth will get you in trouble. The feeling so strong, might do something wrong, so I'ma just walk it off. She called me up
to get her kicks. Her husband get home at 7. I'm gone by 6. I get to my house and open my door. There she is with Rokan on my living room floor. Gotta walk it off till she get finished, you know. Gotta walk it off. She could have kept a sock on a doorknob or something, right? Like in college. The feeling's so strong. Might do something wrong, so I'ma just walk it off. I got one more story.
I swear to God, I didn't know that was your wife.
I pulled a knife. He pulled a gun and looked at me like I should run. I pulled my hand grenade, shook it in his face, and pulled a pin, cause that's the Chicago way. He better walk it off. I think he's from Detroit. Yeah, he better walk it off. Feeling so strong, might do something wrong, so I'ma just walk it off.
Okay, I, you know what? I feel really honored. This may be my greatest musical moment to be included in this lyric. I need you to write that.
Yeah,
permanently in. I need it recorded. I want to play it at Blues Fest.
Okay,
on Sunday, 2:45 p.m. Budweiser Crossroads Stage, or tomorrow night, Untitled Supper Club starts at 8 o'clock. You got to see Taranzo Cannon. We got time for one more. What do you want to do for us? And tell us the background.
And this is gonna be my electric band. I'm not doing acoustic. Just I'm doing electric stuff. So I'm freaking out a little bit. This is a song that is kind of not written already, but it's a little song called. It's a song called "My Woman Loved Me Too Much," and I don't know why.
Been there. Go ahead. Okay. It's like you know me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to put your hand on the dump button. And this is a clean version, okay? When my woman say, come and get some of this pumpkin pie. She got that look in her face, y'all. And that twinkle in her eye. My baby love me too much. Don't know the reason why. She started acting this way about the age of 45. My woman say, I love you too much. That's why I can't, well, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to leave that one alone. My woman love me too much. Don't know the reason why. She started acting this way about the age of 45. My woman talk too much. I know it's true. Cause she telling all her friends, and I gotta make love to them too. My baby love me too much. I know you know about that, Ro.
You got blues man problems, Toronto.
She started acting this way. I got one more thing to say. About the age of 45. One day I'ma die. Lord, it's gonna be my time. But she gonna be up there naked waiting for me on cloud 9. My baby love me too much. Don't know the reason why. She started acting all frisky about the age of 45.
It turns out I should have been a blues man. I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, women over 45 know what I'm talking about, I think, right?
Everybody knows what you're talking about. We don't have to worry about it. You got it all figured out, Taranzo. You do. Taranzo Cannon, you got to go see this guy tomorrow night at Untitled. He is now our house blues man. When we have, actually, we're going to have you just write to half the stories that we have to do on this show.
Let me know, man.
Yeah. Or after any night that we've been out together as a band, then, you know, there's three or four songs that come out of every night. So
just give me some words. I'll put them together for you.
Chicago's very own Taranzo Cannon. See him tomorrow night, Untitled Supper Club, or on Sunday at Blues Fest, Budweiser Crossroads Stage at 2:45 in the afternoon. Great having you here, man. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right. Let's now check in with Jen DeSalvo. She's got the WGN News, brought to you by AppleChevy.com.